couple of weeks ago, something David said really hooked me. He was talking about apparent need versus God's provision. And it seems like the need is always greater in our natural minds, that is. And I thought about this a lot. And I realized that faith is knowing who the provision is. I mean, we experience lack and trouble in this world, and we can spend a lot of energy running around trying to correct things that maybe don't need to be corrected. If we're in denial of the need, whether it's our need or someone else's need, I think would be critical. But when we can face the need and be thankful, understanding that God's in it, that's where we want to be. So we all have needs. You have needs, I have needs, other people that aren't here have needs. And it's okay. We just believe God for the provision. He's going to fill that need abundantly. A needy person is like a broken vessel. Isn't that what God's looking for? He's looking for a broken vessel. He doesn't need us to get out the glue gun and start putting that thing back together. Be thankful for the broken vessel. But I can't do this, I can't do that. It's all right. The broken vessel may be exactly what God's looking for to do a great thing for himself, for his glory. Well, if it's a broken vessel, there's probably not going to be a lot of glory in it for us, is there? I think that's kind of what he had in mind. You know, a tree starts out as a seed, and the seed has to die. We live in such a throwaway society that if something's broken, we just pitch it. Things are manufactured now that are impossible to repair. They just want you to get a new one. Well, we don't really want to throw ourselves away. You know, weakness is despised in certain cultures, especially like a culture like the Japanese. I did my jewelry apprenticeship in Hawaii, and I was working with a lot of Japanese people, and they laid this stuff on me to break me, and it did. I went home and cried after work each night, because I just couldn't handle it. And then this resolve of the Spirit came forth inside of me. And it was, you know, the seed died and this new life was coming forth. And up until this time, pretty much every piece of jewelry I made got rejected for one reason or another. It was difficult. But after this, not a single piece came back, because the seed died. You know, that ego. It's pretty cool. So what is our greatest need? A lot of answers.
Yeah.
Could have a different answer for each person in here, huh?
Greatest need is, yeah.
I think our greatest need is to hear him.
Yes.
It's concerned me a lot that I look out into the world and I see a lot of busyness. I see a lot of people trying to fix things. They kind of remind me of this job I had in high school. So I got this job selling magazines door to door. So you get together with the people and they give you instructions. And then they drove us over to a neighborhood, dropped us off. We canvassed the neighborhood, and then they picked us up. Well, I don't think the Christian life is quite like that, but that's how a lot of people treat it. You know, we've got this book of instructions, and it says to go do this, that, and the other thing, and we throw all of our energy into it to do it. The Bible says to do it, so I have to do it. Is that right? Well, unfortunately for me and others around me, the religious striving lasted longer than the job. I wasn't very good at that. But that religious striving is a part of all of us. You know, we get a little instruction and we think we got it. We really need to listen. We need to hear him. I'm not discounting the Bible, don't get me wrong. There's some wonderful things there, and it gives overall character for the people of God. But it doesn't really give you the Father's heart necessarily. I mean, it's there, but it's not written on the pages. It's in between the lines. There's maybe a scripture we could look at. I was kind of thinking of some in Matthew, but I don't know if I want to do those now. So much of the weakness that we have is, I mean, it troubles us, but it's really for someone else. Because if we didn't have that weakness, when we ran into somebody else that has it, we might be critical. But if we're in touch with ourselves, then we realize that somebody else is struggling and we have compassion for them. So all the junk that happens to you, be thankful for it, because you don't know how it's going to be used from God. I mean, no matter what happens, God can use it. That's amazing. It's amazing. No, right now, John. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12. And in verse 9, Paul says, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I think that's such a good thing for us to hear. Maybe we could have a different heart when we relate to and are confronted by situations. There's delight in it. Somebody slandered you, delight in it. You got accused, delight. Then it allows God to do his thing. I think most of us probably know that he didn't come to polish up the vessel so much as to put a pure gold deposit inside of it. Now flip back to 2 Corinthians 4, please. And I'm just going to pick out a couple of things here. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Now, I think that scripture in Matthew is calling to us right now, and that's in Matthew 13. If you could go there for me, please. And that starts in verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." See, we're a mixture of things. We got some weeds. So what? Does it make you a bad person? No. Doesn't affect the harvest, does it? So don't worry about that stuff. Listen to him. We get caught up trying to polish up our own righteousness, and we miss it. Miss the true righteousness, which is knowing him. How did Jesus do it? How did he handle these things? Let's look over at Isaiah 53. You already know where I'm going with that, I'm sure. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. You'll have to read the rest of that on your own time. I'm sorry. Let's go over to Philippians 2, please. This is all about Christ, too. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him. It's the same path for us. It's the treasure, not the vessel. Broken's okay.
Couldn't help but reflect in this beautiful word of John's writing in Revelation that speaks to the seven churches. And after each of the messages to the churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And there could be no greater hearing capacity in this hour than for the people of God to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to planet Earth. And I'm reminded in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus answered and said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." There is an abiding place that we have as people, and we were created to have that abiding place within him. But it's so necessary for us to hear these truths and to be reminded of them, for surely they are ours. He goes on to say, "He who does not love me, he does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." We call upon the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us to bring us into all the truth. And Heavenly Father, we expose our lives to you, that the power of your love and the blessed Holy Spirit that you've sent upon your resurrection shall be ours and shall lead us and to guide us and to bring us into all the truth, which is you. And we open up our ears that we might hear. We open up our hearts that we might receive your word that is broken and contrite vessels in this hour, as we come to you, will stand and see all things changed by the power of your love. We thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is not only our comforter, our redeemer, but that You bring us the peace in this hour which we need, the heart to hear your word, the heart to do your word, the heart to walk in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.